Now, with your message today, you should have an insert inside of the bulletin. It's got pretty large letters on it. You can use that. I've been handing these out every Sunday on the Lord's Prayer. Some had commented that they like that because they can take them home and they can review or keep them. Some of the stuff you can find online. If you go to the website, you go to media, you will find under media the blogs that have been written, and all this stuff is in there as well, too. The only thing I don't have in there is roses. I should have put those roses in there. This morning, then, as we begin, the first thing I wanted to say, and some of you have asked about this, I'm just going to fill you in. I do get my cochlear implant this month on the 24th, okay? So the surgery has been approved. Yep, they're going to put it in. It's on my left ear. They're going to put it in on a Thursday. I plan to preach on Sunday, okay? They don't turn it on for a month. They leave it in there for a month, and then they turn it off later. So you'll still have to get on my right side for a while to talk to me so I hear you. But hopefully after I get that in, I'll be able to hear no matter where you are. And so I'm pray for me when it comes to this, because I have learned a lot about hearing and how difficult it is when you cannot hear well. I have a special compassion for people who do not hear well that I never had before, because really, you want to hear what other people have to say. You really do, especially in my position. So when people are talking, I'm trying to gather it. I'm trying to get it and digest it, but especially in a crowd, it's difficult to hear. Oh, it's very frustrating, and I don't want anybody to think that I don't care. See what I'm saying? So I'm really looking forward to the possibility of being able to hear the things that I really want to hear in the future. Now, I don't know for sure. That kind of fits into the message for today, which we have on Thy Will Be Done. So if you would just go over with this part of the message with me, the catechism kind of thing. Okay, what is the third petition? And what does this mean? And how is God's will done? And I'll say this with you. God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. There's a word up there that we don't use a whole lot, hinder. You see that? We used it when I used to play racquetball. I played a lot of racquetball in high school and college. And we used the word hinder quite a bit. When you're playing racquetball and somebody steps in front of the ball and blocks it, and so it doesn't have its natural course towards the wall, we would say hinder, and then you get the shot over, okay? I always felt for the guy who got hit. And you're thinking, no, that should be his point. But you all hinder because something has obstructed, something has gotten in the way of the free course of something that should have happened, right? And so here in this prayer, we're talking about evil plan, purpose of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. I'll put it back there for the message for today. So there was a church one morning in southern Alabama, and it was a rather hot day, and the pastor started to preach a sermon. There was a five-year-old boy in the back of the church, and he started to get pretty obnoxious and loud. He started yelling and screaming. He didn't want to be in church. And he was making quite a fuss. So his dad picked him up. But as he started to bring him up, the boy broke loose and started to run to the front of the church. The boy grabbed him before he could get to the front of the church and put him under his arm and started carrying him out, his head facing backwards. The congregation was quiet. The pastor was quiet. Nobody said a word. They got just back to the last pew, and the boy screamed out, "Y'all pray for me now, you hear?" That sounds like the will of God to me, because this is us. Life comes at us, right, from every different angle. We get obnoxious. We get loud. We scream. We don't want this. We don't want that. We don't like the way something is going in life. Thus, our prayer life, right? Y'all pray for me. Well, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Here's the part of the Lord's Prayer in our own prayer life that we struggle dearly with. Thy will be done. And so this is an extremely important message in the series that we're having on prayer and our prayer life, Thy will be done, because we want to know what we're not supposed to know. And what we're supposed to know, we shy away from. That's our sinful nature. And so it runs contrary to how our prayer life should look or appear. And that's why Jesus had to take his disciples aside, along with many others, and say, here's how you pray. Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's just the way we are. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I want, I want. I need, I need, I need. Isn't that the refrain of so many prayers that you hear? Could that be the refrain of your own prayers? All wrapped up in my will. I have a lot of fun with my wife on this one, because I don't know if I've told you this before, but when we grill, okay, I have my own special way of grilling. My wife says, that's not the way you do it, okay? By the way, she's probably right, okay? But the way that I look at it this way, and I remind her all the time, there's a right way of doing things, there's a wrong way of doing things, and then there's my way of doing things. And she just gives up. You know, in the Garden of Eden, you had Adam and Eve. And when they were created, they walked in perfect synchronization with God. What he wanted, they wanted. What he did, they did. The way that he spoke and went around doing things, that was the way they did things too. And then God said, you know, you don't understand this. And I don't need to reveal it. It's hidden. But don't eat from that tree. Don't touch it. Well, he didn't say that. He just said, don't eat it, right? Whatever the fruit is, or whatever the fruit was, a lot of people say it was an apple. That doesn't, it's not what the Bible says. He just says, don't eat it. Of course, then, what did they do? Yeah. And from that point on, they were no longer in sync with the walk of God. Nor were any of their children or children's children, from generation after generation down to us today. We still walk contrary to the will and desire of God. It is our sinful nature, to which Romans even says this: the sinful mind of man is hostile. Hostile is the word, to God. It doesn't submit to God's will, nor can it even do so. Do you see what I'm saying? And it can't do it. We're so far down the path, the opposite path of which God walks, we're incapable of the will of God. So you know what God did in all of his desire and his love and his will for us? He had the Bible put together with the 66 books that are in it, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. He put this Bible out for us, and he said, here's my will, that you should know me. You want to know the will of God? Crack your Bibles open. Everybody out there is looking for the will of God in their lives, right? The master plan, their purpose. Guess what? All you got to do is open the Bible and read it. It gives you plenty of do this, don't do that, and be this way. That's His will. His revealed will for us today. Now, I just wrote down a couple of things, and I'm going to go slowly, and I want to see how you respond, all right? We've already covered this. Obey your parents and everything. Okay, now I'll read this. Don't get mad at me. God wrote this, okay? Wives, submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. Will of God for you. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just reading the text. I'm just reading the book, okay? I'm not interpreting anything. I'm not doing any more than saying the will of God is for you. Be content with what you have. Don't covet. Love your enemies. Avoid any form of sexual immorality. Forgive one another from the heart. Those are just a few. That's just an example, okay, of the will of God for you. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the Bible, it's like somebody's taking their fingernails and rubbing them along, raking them along a blackboard. Oh, I get the heebie-jeebies. I don't want that one. That one's not for me. But what happens if we don't do the will of God? What happens if we say, not for me? You see, the real purpose of praying, thy will be done, is so that you will change, not God. Did you get that? It's so that you will be transformed and become something that you're not, something that you really need to be. It's not to change God or to change God's mind. Kierkegaard, now I saw somebody posted this from the congregation. Very well done, by the way, whoever did it. I'm not going to say who did it, I know, but posted this. The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one praying. And so a counselor once told me, if you're having problems with your wife, make her first in your prayers. Not to change her, but to change who you are. Best piece of advice I ever got, because I can apply it to so many different areas of my own life. And it has transformed me. And that's really what prayer is for the Christian. It is a transforming influence in your life. If you want your prayer life to grow by leaps and bounds, pray thy will be done with a lot of fervency, a lot of desire, a lot of hope and trust. It's counterintuitive to the sinful nature, isn't it? Not to pray, God, do this for me, but to pray, God, change me. Make me the person that you want me to be, not that I want. Send the Holy Spirit. Somebody used this in the men's group yesterday to rummage around in my heart and get rid of that stuff that's not needed. Rummage around in my heart and throw out the stuff that's not needed. Not that you want to give it to somebody else at a cheaper price so that they have to deal with it, but I like that. I want to be in sync with God. Scriptures say if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. God has taken our sinful nature and draped it over the cross. Draped it over the cross so that we might become the righteousness of God, who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God ourselves. You know, down deep inside of you, you know this. A war is raging between the person God wants and the person you want. The only thing that makes the difference is faith and trust in God as we open up our scriptures and read what it has to say, believing that Christ is our Savior and can make all things possible by way of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a trust issue. We put God first, not ourselves. That's hard to do. But that's the big part of this. Thy will be done. And by the way, we say, right, thy will be done on earth as? How is God's will done in heaven? Well, you know, at all times and in every way. That's what we're praying for ourselves. We want our lives to change to the point that God's will is working in our life here on this planet that's filled with all of this sin and junk that goes on, and even within our own hearts, right? That we would walk as God desires, even as it's done in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Is there any sin in heaven? No. Not one little itty bit. In fact, if there's any sin in heaven, I really don't want to go there. So when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are actually praying that God works something that seems impossible in our lives, that we might walk without sin and do the will of God in the here and now. We are people who are growing and changing and transforming. By the way, because you are in Christ, God sees you as one who is sinless. But we know there's a war raging, and we need to take every possible weapon to bear to each battle. And the greatest piece of weaponry that you can carry with you is faith. Believe that God loves you and cares for you, and that he's going to continue to transform you. This is the revealed word of God for you today. This is what God makes clear in the scripture for each and every one of you. There is a way to do things. There are things not to do. There is a sort of person God wants you to be. He reveals it there, okay? He reveals the fact that he's compassionate, kind, and loving, though just and hating sin. Okay? This is clear from the scripture. You can know the will of God. However, there is also this hidden will of God. Are you aware of this? This is where the why questions come in to so many of our prayers. We ask why, and we want to know what we shouldn't know. It's okay, by the way, to pray and go through grieving and to go through all the different stages of life that we go through where we're trying to figure out God. It's okay to go through that. That's going to be natural. It's going to happen. But I want you to know there are areas of life and living where God's not going to reveal himself. That's why I always laugh at what happened to Reggie White. Do you remember this free agency deal with Reggie White? He was one of the first, if not the first free agent, to really go out and look for another football team. He was in Philadelphia. So Mike Holmgren called him. Reggie White wasn't home, so he left a message. Remember what he said? Reggie, God wants you to play football in Green Bay. Reggie goes back to his message machine, and he hears that, and he believes that the will of God for him, so he goes to Green Bay and plays football. That's actually within the hidden will of God. He might have been just as well off going to San Francisco or New Orleans. Of course, we like the fact that he came here, right? We don't know that. The revealed will of God for Reggie was to live out the Ten Commandments. The revealed will of God was for him to be kind and compassionate and full of love. As we boil down all the commandments, what do they mean? But to love. The hidden will of God is when we start asking questions that just cannot be known. Now, I'm going to tell you how to understand this better using my dog. Do you know my dog's name? Fudge. Well, I'm surprised everybody knows that. He's a chocolate lab. Now, something about chocolate labs. Their claws tend to grow quite rapidly. And if you do not trim them, they could curl under. And if they do that, there could be infection and all kinds of other problems. So I clip my dog's claws. And I'm one of the only people who can really do it. Okay? It took me a little while to work with him to get to this point. But I can clip his nails, and I know how to clip them, how short they should be, how to do it without really getting them to bleed and to be painful. But somebody must have done it at one time or another and did it wrong, because he doesn't like anybody touching his paws. He'll pull them away. He never bites, he never growls, doesn't do that, but he pulls them away. But he's let me start to do it. But he gives me this look whenever I grab his paw and clip. He gives me this look as if to say, why? Why? Why are you doing this to me? I know the look. I've seen it in your face. When some of you come to me and say, why, Pastor, why is God doing this to me? Why the disease? Why the loss of a loved one, right? Why didn't I get the job? I studied for days and weeks, and I didn't get the A. Why, God, why? Why is this happening? Why is it going down this road? My dog gives me the same look. Why are you cutting my nail? What's going on? I always look at Fudge and say, because I'm the master and I know what's best. I don't know if my dog understands that, though. Do you understand God who comes to you and says, I'm the master, I know what's best. Trust me. Nobody loves you more than me. The scriptures reveal that. You will know that. You won't know why this is going on. But when we do this, guess what? A terrible weight is lifted off of your shoulders. All that why stuff doesn't go back to somebody else's guilt or your own guilt. It doesn't go back to somebody else's pain or your own pain. It falls squarely on the shoulders of God. When somebody learns how to pray in this way, they begin to worry less, have less anxiety, and find joy in areas of their lives where they didn't find it before. Research has shown that prayer can bring about health and wellness with individuals who are struggling with issues in their life. When they learn to pray, "Your will, not my will, be done." This is an important prayer, folks. This is one that's a game changer. This is a biggie. You want to grow in your prayer life and what it means? Pray this. I think that's why it all happened to Jesus the way it did in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He had to suffer the sins of all people of all time. Every single rotten thing that people have done, everything nasty, including the stuff you've done, the lives you live, the sin that's in your life, that's all a part of it. He's going to suffer all that. So it was going to be extreme, this suffering, to take away your sin. It's a cross thing. So he was praying, you know, if it's possible, take this from me, but your will, not my will, be done. And because Jesus prayed that way and put his complete trust in God, we have a resurrection 3 days later. You have a resurrection as well. Here in this life, you will rise above your problems and troubles in time, given trust in God. And there's the eternal resurrection to come to be with him in heaven. Now, if you pull out that little insert that I have, what I did for you, and I don't know, this is kind of a little bit different. Have you ever done bullet prayers? You know, something's going on, little one-liners. I thought I'd give you some that you can learn. You maybe stick a couple of these in your wallet or purse that you might be able to use. These all have to do with the third petition. Oh, Lord, I can't change you. Please change me. Father in heaven, I know you love me the way I am, but I pray, don't leave me this way. Oh, Lord, help me with this test that I might have a testimony. Oh, God, keep me in my Bible so that I might keep you. Some of these I've written. Some of these are out there, okay? Heavenly Father, my troubles are big, but I know you're bigger. Lord, turn me from sin before sin turns me. Oh, Lord Jesus, let your light be the light that enlightens my way. You know the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, wisdom to know the difference. That's a third petition, thy will be done thing. And then this is a wall hanger. Okay, I took a wall hanger that I have that I didn't like, and I rewrote it. And this is what I came up with. Lord, may I live one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships all the time, trusting you time and time again, that in this time I may have peace, and in the eternal time to come be supremely happy with you. Just a little helper on the side for you today. God's blessings be with each and every one of you.